everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Hello,
Hi.
Everybody. This is Matt Maher. I know we're back. There's been a little hiatus, so Mama was busy running a camp. But I'm with somebody. When I first started the show, I was like, I want Jill Alexander to be on my podcast. And here you are.
Yay!
Yay, Ginger Attack. Or her. Like, do you get... First of all, how many commercials have you actually been in?
I kind of stopped counting at 100. So,
oh my gosh,
it's not crazy over 100, but it's
a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot,
and it's fun. It's some of those jobs are the best jobs I've ever had. I got to go to Australia to be in a bank commercial.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, the client wanted a vacation, and the director was from Australia, and that was a point in time when they were just throwing money at ads, and so I went for a week. And I worked for 2 days, and they could have shot the ad in the States is the thing, because it was supposed to be taking place in the States. So shots where you saw the exterior, they had to move the cars to the other side of the street to make it look like it was the States.
That's the things people do just for a vacation.
So that was great. That's the only international job that I've done. But yeah, almost always the best food, the best treatment, because everybody wants their next job. So they're all for that.
Yeah. I like it too that, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure if I ever was on a film, I would enjoy it. But I get bored. So, I mean, what's the longest commercial shoot you've ever done? I can't imagine them being that long.
You mean hourly?
Like, have you done several days or usually always just one day?
Yeah, I have done several days. Probably two is the most I've spent.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then when I say commercials too, like, I remember, I think one year, a couple of years ago, I watched the Super Bowl, and I think you were like in two.
No, I've never had a Super Bowl ad.
Really?
No, I've had ads run during the Academy Awards, but I have never had a Super Bowl ad.
That is shocking. I mean, out of all that you've had. Anyway, if you're listening, don't look at if you're driving, but look up Jill Alexander, and you'll go, oh, I know her.
Oh, that's the redhead. That tends to be the case. I just got recognized at IKEA the other day, actually. A guy said, hey, I know you. You were in like, two commercials? And I just shrugged. I was like, yeah, like a few.
A few.
And his wife elbows him and she's like, she's in all the commercials. And then I promptly like ran my cart into a wall because I was very embarrassed.
Are your husband and your daughter, are they used to this?
My husband is used to it. Yeah. Oh, man. I know every waiter in Los Angeles, too. Every waiter. We cannot have a meal, like a nice romantic private meal, because every single waiter I know from auditions.
Because you've you know a lot of people.
I've been everybody's wife, everybody's mom, everybody's sister.
But not my sister.
Not your sister.
Not my sister.
No,
we're going to change that.
When I put my commercial spec directing reel together, I'm going to cast us.
Please do. I would love that. Again, thank you so much. And actors, you can go to Jill's website, jillforpromqueen.com. You can see all your, I don't have to say it.
You could say Theo or Tio. Whatever. He'll really respond to either.
But she and Juliet did your pictures.
Yes.
Right? They're gorgeous. So
they're the best in the biz.
They are the best.
Mm-hmm.
They are the best. It's expensive, but they are the best. But yeah, so go to jillforpromqueen.com, everybody. And again, you can look at consulting. If you're listening and you're an actor and you're even somewhat remotely interested in commercial acting, well, no, actually, if you're serious about commercial acting, literally sign up for Jill's thing. It's the best thing you will ever do for your career.
I coach theatrical too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Silicon Valley and I was on season 7.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about too, actually. So. I want to talk about you just had a great year.
Well, it was really 2 years ago, but everything then kind of aired all at the same time because they held the second half of the last season of Mad Men. And then those shows aired the same night in the same time slot.
Oh,
so it was
I remember you.
pretty nuts. The first season of Silicon Valley and the first half of season 7 of Mad Men were the most high profile TV shows that I had done, and they could not be more different from each other. So that was awesome. And then the fact that I got brought back to do more on both shows was the best thing. I don't think I'll ever have a job quite like Mad Men was. That was great.
Probably not. One of my best friends, his fiance was one of the creators of Mad Men, or he was the COO at AMC when it started.
Yeah.
So not the creator, but you know what I mean, like the exec.
For sure.
But you can tell that he definitely was into, because you go to this house now and it just looks like Mad Men still. Like he's really obsessed with that time period.
Well, it took over. I mean, West Elm, Banana Republic.
Oh, yeah.
Like even Crate and Barrel. It just took over mainstream style and design.
It was crazy. I've never seen both of those shows, actually, because I don't have cable. So
that then, yeah, because they're both kind of boutique.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe one day I'll catch up. I don't know. Is Silicon Valley, is it still on again? Is it going to do another season?
They're writing season 3 right now. That should come back next spring.
And you should be in it?
I hope so. I love that show.
Well, good. Then your character didn't die.
Well, no, I wouldn't say. I can't imagine that they would kill Patrice off. If they did, it would be in a very dark and hilarious way.
Yeah, that's true. Are you still on that show? I think I might have texted you about it. I was sick, and I had the flu, and I was here for a week. This is like a year ago, and I had watched everything I watched, and I was just scrolling on, was it Amazon? And there was like a kids show.
Where you play,
is that show still on?
Mortimer Gibbons' Life on Normal Street.
That is such a fun show.
It's really fantastic.
And you were fantastic at that, that too. Like really quirky, like it was not always, like you're very intelligent. So when you play someone who's a little like, the kids are the smart ones on that show, you know?
Yeah.
So when you play someone that's not smart, I was like, I actually said, Jill's a really good actress. I knew you were, but it's still, I was like, that's totally not you.
They have aged up, so they'll be in a different classroom next year. So yeah. I was their teacher for last year, so I actually know the woman who is playing their teacher for next year, but no, so far.
Cute show. If you got kids, cute show. Wholesome.
Adorable. Even my 3-year-old liked the pilot. Oh. She got it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, let's get to our questions. Okay. All right. So first question is... Dear Maddie, I've been seeing your post about camp. It's very inspiring to watch that happen. Thank you. And I love the article and people. Thank you. I didn't pay this person to write this. Here's my question. How did you get inspired to do that? I look at your Facebook and you seem very driven, like you have a calling. I don't have that. I'm happy with my life, but there's nothing in my life that inspires me to be better every day. So how do I find inspiration? Love you and love the show. This is from Melody, age 27. When I was prepping these, I thought this is a perfect question actually for you as well, because you are super, super driven, and you're a super creative artist, and you've really combined being artistic and fun and adventurous into like a focus for a business for it to do well. So I don't know what I can take this question first, or you can. We trade it off. Or you got any thoughts about this one?
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is Melody. Just have a kid, then you'll have. An inspiration to do something with your life every day.
That changes things, I imagine.
Terrible advice. So why don't you start, Matt?
Get knocked up, Melody. That's what we're telling you. I don't care what his name is. Just make it happen. I used to being inspired by stuff, I think it can in a way be a blessing and a curse, in that I knew what I wanted to do with my life since I was like 7 years old. I watched Curly in Oklahoma, and that kind of changed everything for me. That's great, because I've always known what I wanted to do. But then at the same time, when you're not doing what you want to do, it can be painful, because you feel like you're living not a false life, but just not the life you want to live. So this question's hard for me a little bit, because I always have been inspired. I don't know, did you have the acting bug since a young age?
I would say I enjoyed watching theatrical productions. My parents were really good about giving me that opportunity, but it didn't occur to me that that was something I could do as a job. Mm-hmm. Honestly, probably until I'd already graduated from college. Uh-huh. I just thought, oh, this is something that's fun to do, and then I will probably have to go work at Arthur Anderson Financial Consulting. But I find that I find inspiration on a regular basis, because I'm always taking a class.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a cooking class, sometimes it's a stand-up comedy class, sometimes it's a writing class. Sometimes it's something I'm super interested in, and other times it's something I feel like I need to do because of the path that I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
But in these classes, I also always make new friends. And even if I find, oh, this thing isn't for me, at least then I know, oh, well, then something else probably is for me. Mm-hmm. And it helps to guide me in that way. And what I find too with my consulting are people who get to a point in their lives where they're only focusing on raising their children, or I'm just going to work and then the gym and then just building up my eggs so that I can buy a house, mm-hmm. or I can go on this vacation or buy a car or whatever it is, are people who I feel get stuck the most. And that's ultimately why they come to me for consulting, is they've put a roadblock up for themselves because they have not opened new avenues. And I feel like taking a class in anything will open up that inspiration.
That's great advice. Like, I wish I would have thought of that, because that's so true. When you said that, I went, oh, that is usually when I feel like I'm just kind of resonating with the world, or I'm connected to like people or things that it, I think I should be able to think of some smart life quote about. Didn't Mark Twain say something about being a lifelong student? Hell, I don't know. Shit, I don't know.
I think just that San Francisco is cold.
Yeah.
That's what he talked about.
That was pretty legit. But yeah, it's always being curious, Melody. Maybe that's it. You know, it sounds like to me, it's not that you're not inspired. It sounds like you're bored.
Yeah, exactly. But forever learning. I mean, that's one of my mottos, is forever learning. And I'm not sure what part of the country you live in. Certainly in a big city, you could take a class in anything. But this would be true in a smaller town as well. There's classes at the YMCA. There's adult education. There must be somebody who teaches yoga or teaches printmaking or teaches photography. And now with the internet, you could find all of that.
You can find that. I mean, yes, I think, like you said, if you can, Melody, go to an actual physical class. There's something, the people you meet, I think, is quicker and more genuine.
And that you get said, outside your circle.
Yeah,
too.
If you're out in the boonies, though, totally, you can find that type of learning. There's so many classes now. I mean, you can take acting classes from Dustin Hoffman now online. Like, shit can happen.
You won't make a new best friend.
You won't make
online.
A new best friend. No, yeah. So. I don't know, Melody. I hope that helps. And if all else, just have a baby. So, advice from Jill Alexander. All right. Okay. The next question is from Nate, age 33. Ooh, your Jesus year, Nate. That's what my Aunt Peggy calls it, your Jesus year.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dear Maddie, I've been dating a guy for about 6 months, and last night I kissed another guy. Am I a terrible person for not telling my boyfriend about this? My boyfriend and I have actually never had an exclusive talk, and truth be told, I prefer an open relationship. But my friend told me that an open relationship is not realistic and will always cause jealousy. Should I talk to my boyfriend about this or forget it? There's a lot of stuff happening in this question.
Oh, there's so much going on.
We're talking about, you want an open relationship, your boyfriend doesn't know this, like, that's almost even a bigger issue to me than the kissing thing.
Yeah, I think that's the conversation that you have to have.
Yeah.
And kissing... I think, honestly, you don't need to tell your boyfriend that you kissed another guy.
I actually don't think so either.
Because A, it was just kissing, because his health is not at risk.
Yeah.
And B, you haven't had the conversation about whether or not you're exclusive.
Yes.
So you are in no way obligated to tell him that you kissed another guy. However, part of you feels guilty.
Yeah.
Or at least feels like you need to communicate with your boyfriend about this. Otherwise, you would not have written Dear Maddie.
Yeah.
So now's the time to have that conversation. And then you're going to know whether or not this is behavior that's okay to proceed with in the future, or whether this is somebody who you're just not a match for and you're going to sow your wild oats while you continue to
do it. I'm going to give you the mic. Just take the show, Jill. Just take it. Because I'm going to echo that.
Just think the same way.
It's true. Hopefully. Yes. The conversation, I want to be clear, the conversation about an open relationship or not. Not the conversation about the kissing thing. Don't lead with, I kissed someone.
Oh,
I think
no.
We need to have an open relationship. That's a bad way. And you know what? Also, too, this, I was just thinking this. Practice the conversation. I was talking to a friend the other day, and they said, well, I need to talk to somebody. I don't know how to do that. And I said, well, practice it. And they said, what do you mean? I said, practice the conversation.
Here, let's do it now.
Yeah, like, let's do it now. Oh, you want
you
us to
You tell me.
Okay.
You be Nate.
Okay.
I'll be Nate's boyfriend.
Okay.
How do you?
Tommy.
Okay.
My name's Tommy.
How are you going to lead in?
Tommy, just want to let you know that I've been thinking, and I'm more of...
You want to get married?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Get to the point, Nate.
I'm more of an open relationship type of guy, and that's how I've handled my relationship in the past, but I want to be respectful of what you want, and I really care for you.
Did you kiss somebody?
No.
Yeah, I agree. I think you would lie on that.
I would lie on that. If he asked if you kissed somebody or got finger banged in an alley night, you lie about that shit. It's not that you didn't have the exclusive talk.
No, you're just moving forward.
I got nervous just doing that. Jill Alexander put me on the spot. I was like, oh God, I'm talking to Tommy now.
Yeah, but you got to get to the point, especially if you're going to be like heavy with the relationship stuff. I totally thought you were going to propose. You're going to get down on one knee.
Get to it, Nate. So
do it, Nate, do before it, Nate. You kiss another person.
I think that, there we go. We are like blowing through it. This is like...
Well, we'll take a long time on the next one.
Well, no, we've got Chatty Matty questions too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. And we have celebrity shit the bed. We've got so much. All right. Dear Maddie, this is from Jared, age 32. Dear Maddie, I love your show, but my sister is crazy. Help.
How are those things related?
I don't know. It was just all in one sentence. So my sister's son graduated from the 8th grade in May. I'm from a small town, and they still have 8th grade graduation ceremony and a party. I was really busy at work, and I couldn't go to the party, nor did I get a gift. It's the 8th grade. Not a big deal, right? Well, months later, my sister just sent me a pissed off email about how I am thoughtless and I, quote, never support her or her children. She thinks it's rude that my girlfriend and I did not get her son a gift for graduation for the 8th grade. The 8th grade, Maddie. It's not an accomplishment anymore since people stopped sleeping with their cousins and now can keep their own teeth. I like Jared. He's funny.
Jared is from the Boonies.
He is. And Jared says, am I an asshole? By the way, loved your hotels.com commercial.
That's so nice.
That is very sweet. Thank you for that. That's a lot because of you, that commercial, from you draining me. So Jared, I think 8th grade graduations are stupid. I think they're ridiculous. I do. Do you not?
Was obviously a milestone for the mother, so probably the child felt like it was a milestone as well.
I just don't see the point, because
Did you have an 8th grade graduation? I did not.
It was the first year they didn't have a graduation. They had a lock-in. That's where I realized I was attracted to Jerry Gardner shirtless playing basketball. As I watched the sweat trickle down his chest, I went, uh-oh. Little problem. But yes. So
change of direction.
Yeah, sorry, GDD. Even then I was kind of like, this wasn't hard.
Okay.
That said, though, I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
Well, I'm just wondering then... Would you, Maddie, still have sent a gift or brought a card?
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
I feel like my opinion of the 8th grade graduation doesn't mean I can't support my sister or her child if I love these people. So, and I purposely led with that because I have a pretty strong opinion about that being a dumb thing too. But it's not hurting anyone. And this is your nephew. If my nephew had an 8th grade graduation party, I would 100% get him a gift. I would, or at least, even if you don't have the money, send a card.
Yeah.
If you can't go to the party, I think
people are totally going to get you're busy at work. You can't come to the party. Don't have time to pick up a gift. But yeah, I mean, even because 3 months had passed and you hadn't sent a card, I think that's the important thing. It's just some sort of a written sentiment that you acknowledge that this moment in time means something to those people, even if it doesn't to you. You know, I go to weddings all the time where I just am there because I need to support the bride and the groom. But it's not like a wedding ceremony. It is... What am I trying to say? Just that the wedding itself, like having the party itself, is really cool. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like
invested.
Yes, there you go. Invested.
Invested.
But it's still like super important to them.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to acknowledge that with my presence and by sending a card with sentiments that I hope that they enjoy their future together.
I mean, Jared, yeah, I think you're being a little bit of an asshole.
It's the same way with thank you cards, too. Like,
don't get me started.
You got to send a thank you card.
Oh, my gosh. I did that for camp. So for every single one of our donors, I actually sat down with our campers, and they all wrote thank you cards to the actual donors that gave money to camp. And I did it as a teaching tool, though, saying, because we're, you know, Brave Trails is a leadership camp. So I talked about how this is how you structure a thank you card. This is how, like, the kind of points you want to and details you want to put in there. And then I reiterated, this is what you do when you do a job interview or an internship or someone. And I could see them going, oh, because especially now, too, it's really becoming such and such a lost art.
Or anytime somebody does something for you that sets your life in an easier direction.
Yeah.
Completely. I mean, that's separate from this. But here's the thing. You think the sister's crazy because she's obsessed with this eighth grade graduation, and who cares about eighth grade graduation? Big picture, yeah, who cares about eighth grade graduation? But sister is clearly holding on to a bigger thing of, you don't support me, you don't support
that's
my kids.
Saying. This is deeper issues.
So
for on both ends, it sounds like.
Completely. Whether she has higher expectations about what you can provide as far as time and commitment right now, you guys should talk about
it.
Yeah,
I think you're better than me at this. You're so good. Because that's what I was going to say, Jared. It sounds like you need to have a deep conversation about you and your sister have had a history, it sounds like, because it sounds like you're putting your shit on her, and she's probably putting some of her shit on you right now, as far as, I mean,
yeah,
saying
completely.
That because she's bringing it past, saying you never support her and her children. So obviously there's a story in her head and a story in your head, and these stories don't match. So let's have a conversation to, like, flesh out a story that works for both of you, and hopefully you can agree upon. And
can we practice this conversation too?
Okay, do you want to be? Do you want to
be
Jared?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll be his sister.
Okay,
Jared, you never support me and my children. I've been a single mom for years now, and you never once have asked how I'm doing.
Did she say she's a single mom?
No, I just said that.
Oh, you just decided.
I'm going deep here.
This is not about the eighth grade graduation. I am sorry that hurt your feelings that I did not send a gift or a card. But here are the ways in which I feel like I support you and your kids. I do X, Y, and Z. What would you like me to do in the future to show that I care and support you?
I would like you to buy me a beer. That's what.
Bartender.
I don't know why I made her this. We went Deliverance style there.
Because I just think your idea of what giving is different than her idea.
That's
great.
That is what, Jared, you need to ask her is, how would you like, or how would you imagine, or how would you hope that I would support you?
Yeah, because at some point, like, just being defensive and saying you're nuts, that may be how you feel, but it won't help your relationship going forward.
Yes, I think that it's like when people get really upset and they say, they don't respect me. And I hate when people say that word, because that's actually them saying, that they're not wanting to listen to that person when they say they don't respect me. Because instead of saying, well, how do you want to be respected? You know, how can I acknowledge you? So there you go, Jared. It's going to be, basically, you want to when you have a conversation with your sister, you want to take out a lot of, you can talk about, I feel this.
Yeah.
I feel this way. I feel that way. And say things like, you know, I feel like blah, 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 blah. Is that how you see it? Because then you're opening up the conversation to how she feels. And then those questions that you said earlier, just about what she hopes for support.
Yeah. And obviously if she's like a shrew and is just coming at you with negativity, then you're still doing the best that you can. And all you can do is proceed knowing, okay, I did what I could to open up the lines of communication. She's not open to it. So I have a limited path here.
Yes. 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 All right, Jared. We are like quick advice here. We are like, bam, which is good because we're moving to stuff. So I meant to tell you this before. I can't always forget. So this is Celebrity Shit the Bed. This is a part of the show where we just talk about something in pop culture.
Okay.
Or we give advice to a celebrity who we think they might need it right now. Or some people talk about, you know, they want to talk about North Korea and South Korea. Whatever you want to talk. Something that's kind of in the mainstream right now that you're like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Anything that I should have asked you before. I'm sorry.
You should have, because there was something I was just mentioning to my husband, and now it's fallen right out of my brain.
Well, let's talk about forgetfulness.
No, there's Donald Trump.
Oh,
that's a thing. You might be sick of talking about
that. I haven't talked about him at all, because I haven't been doing the show since he started running for president. What do you think of Donald Trump?
Jimmy Kimmel just did a bit where
Josh Groban. I just watched that like yesterday.
So funny.
Let's talk about that actually. If you haven't seen, it's Josh Groban singing Donald Trump's tweets. It is so ridiculous, and it's not ridiculous because he's singing. It's ridiculous because
it's
of the tweets.
Because
it's real. It's what is it that my favorite's like where he literally tweeted like something like, go to Macy's and buy my cologne.
Yeah,
and
then it's a great Christmas gift.
It's a great Christmas gift. And then the next tweet was, Macy's is the devil and the worst store in America. So I like that a big baby child is running for. Also, too, and I'm not trying to be funny, anyone who has a freaking hairpiece like that is completely not living in the real world.
No, of course not. He lives in a bubble.
He lives in a crazy, crazy bubble.
But because he's in that bubble, he really does believe he can say anything that he wants to. That's, I think, what's fascinating
about
this.
And he's reaching, though, people that live in that bubble as well.
Or people,
are real
people who just are tired of dealing with politicians who only say what they think people want to hear.
True. Yeah.
This is what I respond to positively about him, is that he's just honestly who he is.
Yeah.
And that's I think, what is charming.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
Even though I disagree with most of what the man says, I still don't mind listening to him. And I think that's why he has popularity, because it is really a breath of fresh air, as much of a blowhard as he is.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because I think anybody on the right or left.
I know what I wanted to talk about.
That
was in conjunction with that. So you know how he maybe or maybe did not indicate that he was speaking of the woman who was running the debate. I forget her name. The Fox News reporters was talking about her menstrual cycle.
I didn't know that. No.
Oh, yeah. He said she was coming after me because someone was asking him about how aggressive she was with him during the debate. She was coming after me. There was blood coming out of her eyes. There was blood coming out of her wherever. And so some people interpreted that like he was talking about she was on her period, and other people interpreted that like, oh, no, he just was trying to think of what to say next. And he said, no, I meant that it meant that I was going to say that blood was coming out of her nose, but then I was on to the next thought. But of course, the feminists are up in arms.
Yeah.
Like, well, even if you weren't talking about her. Oh, because then he said, and anybody who thinks that I was going to talk about her period is some word like they've got they're perverted or they're messed up in the brain. So either way, like the feminists were up in arm, and I'm a feminist, were up in arms about the fact that he felt like talking about menstruation was either like okay as attacking someone, or also was taboo to talk about. Like he could not win in that instance.
No.
But at that time, there was a woman running a marathon who she ran and she just bled. She didn't wear any sort of protection to not bleed. And she said it was a political statement that she can do with her body whatever it is that she wants to do, whether or not society wants to be aware of the fact that she's that at that point in her cycle, regardless. I don't know. I thought that was really interesting.
Huh. That's like, I wouldn't want to run I don't like, but again, then I feel bad for saying, I'm like, I don't want to give like, be dirty, but not that that's dirty. You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't even like sweat.
That was the first
blood.
Word that came to mind for you was dirty though.
But I don't, and I watch myself because I don't meet. I just don't want blood or like, I wouldn't want like running in. I don't even like sweat. So for me, it's the ickiness of like just not feeling. But I'm totally
like
in my own
words.
Yeah, but
she's going to run 24 miles. Like her body's going to be a wrecked mess anyway.
Yeah, I totally.
And she didn't want to wear one particular thing because it was uncomfortable. One other thing because it was going to chafe. And she was like, it's just going to be more comfortable for me to just.
Then that makes sense to me.
Free bleed, I think, were the terms that she used. And I thought that was really fascinating.
I think
like,
so, too.
And who am I to say like, oh, that's. That's
I don't think there's
weird.
Anything wrong. Yeah, it's not. I guess that would not be what I would want to do.
Well, I wouldn't.
But I don't know. I'm not a woman.
I wouldn't do that to like brunch. But
but maybe if you're running a marathon.
Maybe if you're running a marathon and you feel like that's what's best for your body, then
I do think that like I like that it's really saying like fuck you, I'm not going to take any of like, I'm not going to take any of the constrictions that you want to put on me because I'm a woman. It's like,
yes.
And this is not exactly the same, but I just saw a policy of Target talking about how they breastfeeding is allowed anywhere in their store.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And I loved that. I love that. And they have a policy of how their employees are not supposed to call out women that are breastfeeding, make them feel uncomfortable. It's an, like totally Target's like stepping it up too. Did you hear that they changed their toy department?
I did. I saw non-gender? All the hullabaloo up on Facebook.
Yeah. I do think that that is, and Donald Trump, what like the inner feminist in me too, is it like the stuff that he's called Rosie O'Donnell and stuff like that. Like,
oh,
I definitely
yeah.
feel like he gets go, I think he's very sexist. I'm wondering how his ex-wife feels about this, Ivanka
sexist.
Trump. Because she's kind of, people think of her as a feminist, I think. But I don't know if she is. I know that she's like a powerful woman now. Doesn't she run a corporation now or something? I don't even know.
I mean, you're a feminist if you're pro-woman, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter whether you're a homemaker or you run a corporation. You're a feminist if you believe that women can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah. You got to play a lot of those women. You play usually stronger. You've never really played weak women, at least that I've seen.
Oh, I play low status who, women in low status positions who perceive themselves as high status.
Oh, that's
yes.
fun. That's fun. That's fun.
But that's, I think, most roles for women are low status positions. Secretary,
so,
mom.
That's a good question too, because you probably more than, do you feel like it's a few and far between that you find roles for women that are equal to power as men?
Oh my gosh, I mean, for sure.
And I know that we already know this, but I think it's something to bring up because I think people don't think about it because other issues come up and they think, oh no, it's fine. But it's like, we still haven't had a female superhero movie yet.
Well, isn't Wonder Woman coming out?
Finally. But I mean, it's been how many years now that we have and a female's never directed any
oh,
of those movies.
I mean, this too, this is all over.
This is a whole conversation
yes,
we're about to open up. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you the little way that I check my brain, because I'm writing sitcom pilots, and I'm writing them with a perspective of a strong female point of view,
mm-hmm.
with a humorous, strong female point of view. But I will find myself writing side characters, police officer, and immediately I think, oh, that's a man. And I always reverse the role and try to make it into a woman. Even doctor, I always immediately think, oh, that's a man.
Oh, wow.
So the little bit that I'm trying to retrain myself is, oh no, these roles of authority, I can write them for women. And it's going to, I'm 40. It's going to take a lot of...
You look so young. You look so young.
But I'm a feminist and I'm 40 and I'm still thinking...
We still have these ingrained
yes.
doctrines that are just part of the public narrative that we don't even know are there.
No. So it's
like
the one
I just said, the word darity, and that was like literally the only word I could think of.
Yeah.
And I look back and I'm like, I probably should have said, well, that's not something for me.
No, and we're two super open-minded people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're pretty
who
freaking liberal.
Who already have these...
Not politically, but I just mean people liberal.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's... I could do a whole show about that, but we have chatty many questions.
Okay.
That was good. That was a good celebrity shit the bed.
Oh, I got kind of serious, huh?
No, a lot of people doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very rarely do we like... go funny time. That's the whole point.
Okay.
So yeah, you did good. All right. So I have some new questions that I've kind of intermingled. So the questions that you have on your little piece of paper, Jill, are not all
oh,
the
good.
Same questions. So my first question is Chatty Maddie number one, what is your most favorite childhood smell?
Oh, it's out of a scratch and sniff book.
What
a Christmas orange. Isn't that sad? My
That's
most
one of
favorite.
My favorites. I remember the book. It was like a It was like there was a bunch of gifts, and there was like an orange in the gift that was bigger, and I scratched it and sniffed it. But
this had bears. Did yours have bears?
I don't remember.
But I think what's interesting is that's like an artificial smell, right?
Yeah.
Because it was made with chemicals to create that sticker.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking of it because I found that book, and I read it with my daughter not long ago, and some of those stickers still smelled. But yeah, my God, smell will take you right back, yeah?
That's why I asked that question, because it usually triggers. So for you, was
Most
you remember
people's...
being little?
Yeah. My grandmother then also cooking chocolate chip cookies. But most people must mention food, right?
No. A lot of people talk about green grass, like after rain.
Well, that just makes me think of mowing the lawn as a teenager.
They talked about, though, like getting up and their parents had already mowed, like their dad was mowing the lawn and they were getting up on a lazy Saturday in high school.
Huh.
That kind of, let's see. I mean, I'm trying to remember all the
ocean. No, maybe people talk
think
about.
Maybe somebody said the ocean, but no, it's not always food. A lot of times it's, one person said, I think like diesel or gasoline when their grandpa working.
I like that smell too.
Oh, I love it too. Cause of my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
So, food stuff too, but I love that. The chocolate. So did you love Christmas as a kid? Where did you grow up?
My dad was Air Force, so I moved all over.
Oh yeah. 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 I knew that.
Well, I think what's funny about that is it's a book. It's an artificial smell in a book. It's not an actual orange.
But it still holds the memory for you.
Yeah,
Still holds the memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked Christmas, but I think I more liked maybe sitting on my mom's lap having her read to me.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's pretty. You're still close to your mom, too, right? I see a picture.
Sure. We were just talking on the phone on the way here.
Aww. Where do they live?
Dayton, Ohio.
Oh. Look at that. It's a trip. You have them come visit you, I'm sure.
Yes, we don't go there. They come here.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's do alcoholic drink. You can't drink anymore because you got drunk in the Cooter Brown on it.
I can't drink rum.
Rum? Oh, I love a mojito. That hurts me.
Went to the Bahamas. Oh, one spring break, I was in an improv group that was the paid entertainment.
That's already a shit show.
It is completely. Yeah. But it was for my college. I went to Northwestern. So all these people had paid for this trip to go to Nassau, Bahamas. But we went for free because we were the entertainment. And then we were a-holes, like on the plane and at the airport. And then we got like our own bungalow that we got to stay in.
Basically
all these other people on vacation like paid for our vacation. And then we did a couple of shows like on the beach or at a hotel. I guess that's what we did. But I drank. I must have been depressed or sad or who knows.
Or just an improv group.
Just in an improv group and 20, 21 years old. And I was drinking like rum by the mugful and got so sick. And now I cannot drink it. What's yours?
Mutt Seagram 7. In high school, we were chasing it with Mountain Dew.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, 7-Up. No, Mountain Dew. It was rough.
High school.
Ended up naked on my front lawn.
Did your parents find you?
No.
Oh, man.
I really cleaned up after my parties. My parents were out of town.
I'm glad you didn't drive.
I was really good in high school. Actually, I'm really good now. But in high school, I would have parties at my house, and we would always... I would make people stay because my parents were out of town on the weekend. So anyway, oh, that taste. All right. Chatty Matty question number three. Best piece of advice you wish you had taken?
Do what you love and the money will come.
I feel like you did that.
I always have something else that I'm doing and I feel like it distracts me because I'm just constantly worried that everything is going to fall off the rails.
I'm that way too. And that makes me feel better that you say that because I see you as so accomplished like in your acting career and I get on side projects and then I go, I got to really go back to what I love.
Yeah, but even like the consulting, which I enjoy, I'm focusing on somebody else's career. So I should have had my reel reposted 2 months ago, but I've been worried about other people's reels. Just little stuff like
little
that.
Little stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's good to have all the balls in the air, but I think that's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah. Good. Oh, I love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Chatty Matty question number four. What would be the title of your memoir? I know this one makes people think. I don't even know what mine would be. I've never really thought about it. I should probably think of the answers to these questions, but I'm not. What would mine be? Mine would probably be, you're a reader, right? I bet you read a lot.
I wish I read more.
I'm starting to
I don't have
more.
The attention span to read
I
right now.
I fall asleep a lot. Doing book on tape more. I do better with that. I'm reading that second To Kill a Mockingbird book right now. It's okay. I don't think it was meant to be published, but that's a whole other story.
Maybe she's nicer than you thought.
Oh.
Oftentimes people tell me that they were intimidated when they first met me, either because they had some preconceived notion or perhaps because I'm a focused person. Uh-huh. I don't make a lot of eye contact off the bat.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, I didn't know that you were so friendly and outgoing and nice. I thought you just were, you know, busy working on your thing. Or I had this idea that because you're busy all the time that you didn't have time for meeting new people.
That's, I would say, yeah. I know that. I have friends that have taken class, and the first class, they're like, oh, she's seen, and then by the end of class, she's so sweet. I'm like, I know. I tried to tell you. She's so supportive. I'm like, yes, she's one of the most supportive people ever. That's why I say take her class. All right. And chatty Maddie question number 5, when are you most inspired? Which is probably
what I think I already answered it. When I'm in a class.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I
love hearing somebody who's an expert in something tell me their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. You also have to know that person is not that you need to, like, if there's one thing you want to get your head wrapped around, whether it's commercial acting or whether it's playing chess or checkers, mm-hmm. or making mojitos, like, you can't just take one class. You have to take a class from 7 different people or 8 different people or 2 different people to get their different perspectives.
Yes.
And then you'll figure out how to make the perfect mojito or how to really 100%. Exceed in commercials is because, oh, I've taken a tool out of each of these different people's toolboxes, and that's allowed me to become an expert. I don't think you can take just one class in whatever the given thing.
Yeah,
is.
I think you need to weave that information together to make your own like tapestry of knowledge instead of just trying to regurgitate it.
Yeah.
100%. That's it. That's
the
show.
This
that was
has
it.
Been so
like
fun.
We did chatting with we bammed through it today. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks,
Matt. You're such a artistic and professional and just friendly, joyous person to be around. And you're very calming. Every time I'm around you, I feel like, oh, I can relax. Jill Alexander is here. I don't know why. You calm me.
Let's bottle that up and sell it.
Let's do.
And then we can focus on our acting careers.
Stop telling other people what to do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, you know the drill. It's glad to be back. New show's coming up this month. You can go to DearMattyShow.com. Ask your questions. Please submit your questions. Everything on Instagram is TheMattMar, Facebook, all that good stuff. Where can people find you?
JillForPromQueen.com. I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter. I am on Facebook, but I won't friend you unless I know you.
Yeah, Facebook, I try to keep. I have the Matt Marbs, like, celeb page that people like, and then I try the personal one.
You have a celeb page?
Well, not a celeb page, but you do
like a public figure?
It's a public figure page, yeah.
I think I have one, and I maybe created it 2 years ago, and I haven't looked at it
since. Very rarely, I don't really do anything with it.
Okay.
I just did it because somebody told me to. I was like, it's free, I'll do it. I basically did it because there's like two or three other Matt Mars that are all in entertainment. And so I was so glad when I got in SAG that I got my name. And really, I mean, there's like a guy who won the Last Comic Standing in Australia who's Matt Marr. Like,
oh, I should tell these people, for any of you who are in the area and are thinking of consulting with Matt, what he's really great at is telling you what you're all about.
He's
just really great at reading somebody off the bat, and because he's clever, he'll come up with a catchphrase for you too.
That's true. I do like branding. So
do you ever sign off with yours? Therapist,
host chatterbox. I mean, it's on my website.
Okay,
so yeah, it's there. So I should. This is MMR, therapist, host, chatterbox. No, well, you're getting the call, and we shouldn't. So thank you, everybody, and you know. September, fall's coming up, so do something kind for somebody this week.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, you know, we try. Don't fuck it up. Bye.
Bye.